It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If anyone...
Hey, this is Grand Theft Audio. This is Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brent Thoman.
And welcome again to a all-new episode of Grand Theft Audio Radio coming to you live from downtown Los Angeles.
Beautiful downtown Los Angeles, indeed. Well, not so much beautiful today. A little gray and rainy.
I kind of like it, though.
It's a nice switch. We've had such warm weather to get a nice cooling day.
There's only one part of it that is a drag.
And that is?
That is... You know, ladies walk around less with their boobs hanging out.
Right, right. Less cleavage to look at for sure.
That part is no bueno. The rest of it I'm totally cool with. I mean, we need the water. This way I won't have to give up any of mine. I'm going to go out that door in a second and go try to fix this fucking audio. There is no, because the thing is we can't check before we come on the air to see if anything's playing or not.
Right.
It's a butt fucker. At least I have an idea as to what dial to change today.
Right. Good.
In fact, I'll meet you there in 2 seconds.
Okay. So, thanks for listening. We, again, apologize for these slight technical difficulties. We're running the show on our own for the first two times this week, and we're still figuring out how to work our kinks out when we happen upon them.
I'll at least throw this mic on so I can at least talk over here. So
absolutely.
You get stuck by yourself or nothing, you know?
Yeah. So.
Maybe, if you can hear me.
So, hope everyone's getting ready for their nice long holiday weekend.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You've got a busy week scheduled, dude, that's for sure.
There's so much stuff going on this weekend. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost too much good stuff.
Is there such a thing, especially with the stuff you've got planned? It all sounds like there's going to be way too much fun this weekend.
Yeah, there can be.
Well, I know that tonight you're going to start off by going off to a pro wrestling show here in Los Angeles.
Pro wrestling, you know I love that.
I certainly do, and it is actually one of the more exciting... wrestling groups that I've seen, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG.
Totally can't wait, man.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about their champion getting a concussion yesterday, so he won't be challenging or defending the title, it seems. But they always have great shows. Yeah. Always put on a great show, and half the fun is just waiting for that action to enter into the crowd.
Oh, dude, that's the best.
Watching everybody scatter from where they're at and then trying to regain their seats when the action has returned to the ring.
Having to run out of the way, and it is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy when you're standing there and all of a sudden a 6-foot-tall, 200-pound wrestler comes flying over the ropes and into the chairs, and you're scrambling to get away, and all of a sudden there's a man lying on the ground 2 feet from you.
It is exhilarating. You got to wear your running shoes when you catch a PWG show.
Indeed.
And they got a pretty awesome lineup. Like you said, the champ got injured, so he's not going to make it. But at least they've promised a special person who hasn't been there in a couple of years. And you just never know who that's going to be. I mean, they have so many connections with guys who are now in the WWE and guys who are over in Japan and
yep.
And dudes who've been retired and are coming back. So it's pretty awesome.
There's a nice constant rotation of good wrestlers in that group. So that should be really fun for you this weekend.
Maybe later I can try to go over the lineup of it.
Oh, yeah. I think that'd be a good idea. We can talk about the different matches that are going to be coming up tonight.
The thing is, what I feel I pushed yesterday to make sound come out of the computers is not happening today.
I see.
Wonderful.
Indeed.
Well, hey, man, that's the way things go sometimes, right?
Right.
You just you had a grin and bear it, and I thought we were going to have someone in here to assist us this morning, but it didn't work out that way.
Indeed. So we're just going to wing it like this.
What do you have planned for this weekend?
Once again, I am scheduled to work every single day of this holiday weekend, tonight through Monday. So, and just as a reminder to our listeners, we're not going to actually be on live on Monday, as it is the holiday. We're going to be taking the day off from the studio ourselves.
Hey, good for us.
Yeah, I think so. We've put in a bunch of really good weeks here, and get an extra day off. It's going to be nice.
I'm going to say we deserve it.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, yeah, I'm just scheduled to work this entire weekend. Holiday weekends are always odd in the restaurant industry. You won't be as busy with regulars, but you get a lot of people who have come in to town for the weekend, and they'll be going out to breakfast with the friends that they had that decided to stay. or just are looking for a place to go in Pasadena.
Yeah, who in the right mind wants to sit around cooking all weekend? The only cooking someone should do is barbecuing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't put anything in your oven. Don't do anything on your stovetop. Just
at least on Monday.
I say for the whole weekend.
Well, you got to eat somehow, folks. And if barbecue is the only way, then go for it. But I'm not telling you not to eat.
You got to eat somehow, so you should be heading out to
the Green Street Restaurant to come out and eat. Yes,
that's right.
Well, we'll be plenty busy. I'm not worried about that. So it's just going to be. They always seem to feel long because you're just nonstop for 4 days straight.
It never ends.
So anyway, we're at the top of the show. Why don't we start off with what we're celebrating today?
Hey, we are broadcasting. That's the important part, right?
Indeed.
Okay, what are we celebrating today? Well, obviously, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend.
Of course.
So, I mean, that's like the real big important part before we come back in. Memorial Day weekend, in case people don't know what it is, people get things confused. Mm-hmm. Like, Memorial Day weekend, Veterans Day, they're not the same thing.
No.
If they were the same thing, then
we're just lucky enough to have those two holidays that we're celebrating.
Yeah. I got into an argument with someone recently that, Memorial Day, and I want to go and, like, celebrate my dad. I'm like, oh, why? Did he die in the war? No. But he went to war and he came back. I'm like, well, then you celebrate him on Veterans Day. Like, on Memorial Day, you celebrate people who have passed and they have died for our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of offensive to celebrate people who were still alive on that day,
right?
Because it cheapens the people who have died for our country.
I mean, if you're going to recognize them as well as recognize those who have passed.
I don't even agree with that.
Really?
No, it's like, it's Memorial Day.
Yes, but that person could have some friends that passed away in the war, in a war, and thusly, they'll be memorializing those people as well.
Those people who died, mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, does
people who lived and they had friends who died there, no.
Now, if you pass away but not during the war, do you then are celebrated? So your friend, so they're you don't memorialize them even though they passed because they didn't pass away during the war.
No.
Okay.
I would do it on Veterans Day. I mean, they were still a veteran.
But they've passed.
Okay, great, but they didn't die during the war, okay. Right?
That's what I'm checking. That's why I'm making sure I understand exactly how Memorial Day works, or is supposed to work.
I think it's disrespectful to the people who actually died during the war to celebrate the living on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about the people who died for our country, mm-hmm. Not the people who lived for our country. That's Veterans Day. That's why there's two separate holidays. Anyways. Okay, so that's going on this weekend. We got a pretty good list. I can't wait to go through these. Today is Cookie Monster's birthday.
Awesome. Happy birthday, Cookie Monster.
I will celebrate by eating some cookies.
Indeed. After you have some vegetables first.
Yeah, that's right.
Because cookies are every once in a while treat now.
Today is also Don't Fry Day. It's supposed to be a day that you don't eat deep fried foods.
Mm-hmm.
It's Heat Awareness Safety Day, perfect for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm. Heat awareness. I'm aware there's no heat.
National Missing Children's Day.
Interesting.
National Tap Dance Day.
Sweet.
I like tap dance.
Same here.
Tap dancing is one of the... I can't turn away the TV or whatever I'm seeing if there's tap dancing going on in it.
I agree.
It's compelling.
It really is. It's an amazing form of dance, I think, that and just the sound itself. Lends itself to wanting to watch more because it's creating its own beat and rhythm along with the music that they're usually dancing with. Yep.
Like Gregory Hines or something like that. Mm-hmm. I cannot turn away. I
nope.
Today's also Nerd Pride or Geek Pride Day because there's a difference apparently between nerds and geeks.
Okay. What? I was both, so I don't know.
Good question. National Bring a Towel Day.
Oh, I forgot to bring a towel. Towelie's going to be pissed.
I think it has more to do with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Really? Yeah, of course. Don't forget your towel.
Makes sense to me. Today is also National Wig Out Day, so get your wigs out. And
oh, okay. I thought you meant I had to actually literally wig out.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true.
I don't want to wig out.
Okay, what are we celebrating Saturday? Saturday is International Jazz Day, baby.
Sweet.
It's also... Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day.
Interesting. Amateur
Radio Military Appreciation Day.
Hmm. Okay.
So I guess if we had a show on Saturday, we would have to play some songs. It sounds awesome.
Cool.
This is also the National Shave Off.
Where we shave off our facial hair.
Yep. Cellophane Tape Day.
I have no idea what cellophane tape is.
Never even heard of it. Sunday is the...
This must be the day that it was created, and that's possibly why it's that day.
Sunday is also the Indianapolis 500.
Great.
Not a big fan?
No, not really.
You don't like that hillbilly...
Well, it's not so much that they're so hillbilly.
No, they're hillbilly.
Are they too?
They all are, dude. Yeah.
It's racing. It's going around in a circle. It's riding around in a car. The only thing I will say is their crashes certainly seem to be a lot more spectacular when they occur.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, when they catch air or if they catch a wall and then just start tumbling over each other. The NASCAR vehicles, I think, are so much heavier that they don't tend to like flip around. It's over end over end over itself. But the Indy cars, you've seen that many times where it literally disintegrates and still those people will walk away.
Pretty crazy.
That's what's amazing is that the actual section of the vehicle that they're in sustains a lot of damage, but it's not so much that they get like seriously injured. I mean, I'm sure they're not feeling good when they get done, but they're walking away. So,
last one for this weekend is slugs return from Capistrano Day.
Slugs do.
Yeah. You always hear about the birds.
The swallows, yes, but the slugs are returning.
I did not know that they were also celebrated.
I didn't know they went away so far that they need to come back to Capistrano.
Now, there are some other things going on in town this weekend. Like we mentioned, there's the PWG show on tonight. There's also Topanga Days, which is a great event to go out in Topanga Canyon. They have live music and a whole bunch of fun things for kids and the chili cheese dog truck.
Nice. Sounds delicious to me.
That I would like to go to. There's also a couple concerts in town this weekend. You have Morrissey playing this weekend. You have War and Tower of Power and the Average White Band and a bunch of other people coming through. And I don't even know like what movies open this weekend.
Oh, well, we know the big one that is poised to take down the Avengers.
The big one.
Yes, Men in Black 3 opens today.
Yeah, which I had no real interest in seeing until we had Sid Veda in this week.
Absolutely.
Now I want to go see Sid in it.
Yeah, me too. The Chernobyl Diaries also opens up this weekend.
Is that the movie where Zac Efron gets pissed on by Nicole Kidman?
No, that's coming up later this summer.
Oh, okay.
So that one will be a lot of fun.
Because if someone pisses on me, I'm going to go off like Chernobyl.
There's an exclusive engagement of the Intouchables, which is a French film that's here in the United States that's going to be playing. So there's another movie. Yeah, exactly. And then Wes Anderson, his new film opens today.
Yeah, that's right. I heard something about that.
Moonrise Kingdom.
I'm barely a grown-up. What is it about?
It's about a couple of kids who run away together. I haven't seen. I'm amazed. I usually like to try to catch the previews for the Wes Anderson films because I really like all of his films. I can't think of one that I haven't enjoyed.
What's your favorite of them?
I just saw the Darjeeling Limited again a couple weeks ago and remembered why I liked that so much. I thought that one was really, really great. But I still think the Royal Tenenbaums for me is that peak was the best film that he's done. I've enjoyed everything else. The Fantastic Mr. Fox is a brilliant story and so amazingly animated for stop motion that it's just so much fun to watch. And he's amazing at bringing out great actors who are going to give a spectacular performance with what he's written for them.
Well, these two aren't my favorite, but they are very good. Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh, of course, yes.
Amazing. And Bottle Rocket was what started it off.
That's right. Bottle Rocket was his first one.
My favorite movie of his is Rushmore.
Yeah, that's an excellent one as well. I'm really hoping that, I'm sure it will. I'm sure that Bill Murray will make at least a cameo in this. He always does. I mean, he just had that such a small part in the Darjeeling Limited as well. But when he comes on screen, you're just like, there's always something that makes about him that makes you smile.
He was like the businessman in that, right?
Right, where he and Adrian Brody are both running after the train. And it's just funny how Brody like looks over at him as Bill Murray's like, that's my train. And he's trying to get there and he's hoping he's going to be able to grasp onto it. And Brody just like flies past him, tosses his bag on and boom, he's on. And Bill Murray gets left at the edge of the train platform.
Like Murray had started so many of his films at that point that to me that was like showing that he could have been the star of this one too, but his story got left behind.
Right, and he does make they then show him again a little later on another train which I think was kind of fun because Brody is on the other side of the compartment, so they're basically back to back, and they're both kind of looking downtrodden because they're on this train in India headed to wherever it is they're headed to. A really fun film. So I
love this stuff.
Moonrise Kingdom is what it's called, and it opens today.
There's no way I'm not going to see that.
Unfortunately, it looks like it's only a couple of theaters. It's going to be a limited release this week and probably go wider next or the week after that.
Well, maybe I'll track it down, but I don't know, man. You're right. I have a packed weekend.
You have a packed weekend because...
I have the Scottish Games tomorrow.
Exactly, the Scottish Games on Saturday.
Queen Mary, which is always fun. I mean, you go down there and you eat your haggis and you watch them shave sheep and toss the cabers. And
That hammer awesome. Throw thing that they do.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Then on... Sunday, Sunday is like National Pool Party Day or something. And I got so many parties I got to bounce around to between one and another and back again. And that'll be fun. Then Monday, I almost always go to the La Cunada Memorial Day Parade and
always fun.
Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know who you're going to run into there.
Exactly. And it's a place you can buy yourself a vuvuzela.
They do sell those there.
Yes, they do. Those obnoxious little horns.
The thing is, it's hard to get out of there without a kitty. Because every year there's somebody out there who's, I have too many kitties. And there's a box. And just take one with you.
Well, you better hope there's not a box of puppies.
If she's listening, I don't think we're gonna go. now you've scared me into thinking that is not a good idea. Not into that.
No? Well, should be fun.
Into having a dog, it should be fun.
Yeah, she'll love it.
She would love it.
Yes,
dude, it's the worst in the world. I mean, it's not in the world. I'm sure there has to be like a hippo or something that's probably worse to have in your house.
The sheer amount of shit you'd have to pick up from a hippo, yes, is going to be.
But it's just like you got to clean up after them all the time. You got to let them in. You got to let them out. You got to walk them. You got to do so much garbage that kitties just take care of themselves.
Right.
You put down some food every couple of days. It's not that
bad. You do have to leave a window open for them to get in and out. But
unless you like them crapping in your house, which
right.
I don't.
No.
So window stays open.
Right.
And that really, really works for me. Okay, before we start getting into our weekly wrap-up of stories, I'd like to touch on a couple things that we haven't talked about yet this week.
Okay.
Number one, Philip Phillips. He has just won American Idol this week.
Right.
And it was kept secret. But apparently he had 8 surgeries during the run of Idol this year.
Wow.
Because he was so sick with kidney stones. And he seems to be going in for a procedure about every 10 days or so to try to get stents put into his kidney. And the fact that he battled through all of that and still came on and won is even more inspirational than I had given it credit for in the first place.
And you know what? I find it very... I guess honorable to not utilize that kind of information to garner votes for you out of sympathy.
Yeah.
So by keeping it quiet and just going through the day-to-day things and taking care of whatever you have to in regards to those 8 surgeries over what, 4 months?
Yeah. That's
so awful. Every couple of weeks, like you said, every 10 days you had to go in for something new. Ouch. Not fun.
Not fun at all, man.
But, you know, shows his resiliency as well. So
yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Indeed.
Okay. I also got a, crazy story out of Kansas yesterday where a TV station had put out a story on veterans benefits.
Uh-huh.
And some veteran got really pissed off of the story and came down to the studio. He came in with a, he threw a lamp through the glass window on the outside to get in. And he came in with a ball peen hammer and a knife. And stabbed 2 employees and bit a man in the ear before he was, tackled and taken down to the ground.
Because the local news station reported that there was going to be a change in veterans' benefits.
Yeah.
I think he went to the wrong place.
Yeah, go attack, where the people could actually do something about it. These people are just reporting the news.
They're just telling you what they know, what they found out.
It'd be like someone coming in here and stabbing us and biting us because... We just talked about Phil Phillips' surgery.
Right.
We have nothing to do with it.
What? He has kidney problems? Those sons of bitches.
Stab, 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 stab.
Bite your ear.
I mean, that's an awful story. I mean, I understand there's a lot of veterans who are coming home that have post-traumatic stress disorder that don't really know what to do. But, I mean, that is not the right way of handling your problems.
No.
This also isn't the right way to handle your problems. Lawrence Taylor. That dude is a huge fuck up. I mean, he's a drug addict and he's been with prostitutes. And he, I mean, he's just been a really terrible person for many years.
Right.
Turns out that his son got so pissed at him and the money that he owed him that his son decided to sell his Super Bowl.
His father's Super Bowl 25 Super Bowl championship ring.
So they put it up for auction.
Mm-hmm.
Sold for $230,000.
Very nice. Nice little chunk of change.
The person that bought it is a person that has had the exact same type of problems as Lawrence Taylor's.
Mm-hmm.
The drugs, the prostitutes, the getting pissed off at your bosses and getting fired. It was purchased by Mr. Charlie Sheen.
Yes. This is not the only piece of memorabilia he has purchased. He is a big sports fanatic in regards to memorabilia.
Do you know other stuff he's got?
Yeah, he owns a game-worn jersey from Babe Ruth.
Wow.
As well as the original contract that sold him from Boston to New York.
Wow, that's awesome.
He has that. And then, hold on, there was one other thing that I thought was really... Oh, he has the Bill Buckner ball.
The through the legs ball?
Mm-hmm. And... Yeah, that's those are some really unique items in sports history. I mean, you would think that maybe the Bill Buckner ball and these other jersey. Oh no, excuse me, it's Babe Ruth's World Series ring. Excuse me, and the contract he had, not a game worn jersey. I think we talked about a game worn jersey earlier this week that went up for auction. That's why I think I got confused with that.
I think for like $4.4 million,
something like that. So, but which I'm surprised isn't Charlie Sheen's now too. Maybe it is. It could be on its way.
You never know, man. I mean, he's got a lot of cash.
I think his
new show starts this summer, right? The Anger Management on FX?
I think so. Did you by any chance get a chance to watch the premiere of Men at Work last night with Danny Masterson?
No.
I did. And I really enjoyed it. It's definitely it has to be on at a 10 o'clock slot because...
But is it dirty?
There's some dirtiness about it. It's about four dudes, three of them being single... one of them being married, and they call each other assholes, which you don't usually hear on TV.
Butt for?
What's a butt for? Yes.
Pooping silly.
Yeah, pooping silly. Also, banging and such. One of the opening scenes is one of the guys needs to go get his camera that he loaned to his buddy. I said, oh, my cleaning lady's there. Just let her know that you're my friend and you're picking up your camera. So he gets there, and there's this really good-looking, blonde, Eastern European... house cleaner. And as he's like picking up the camera and stuff, he looks over at her and she's bending down and there's just this nice cleavage shot and he winds up banging the cleaning lady at his buddy's place. And he doesn't understand why it is his buddy's getting so upset with it. It's like, well, think about this. You banged her on my couch while she was supposed to be cleaning and disinfecting my house, and what you did, is the opposite of that. Of course, man, my bad. Pounds his chest like, my bad, I'm sorry. And that's it. That's how they resolve that issue. So it is kind of fun because the actors have some really good chemistry, and they showed back-to-back episodes last night to try and get people interested.
I saw an ad this week that you reminded me of. I don't know who goes for this. Who goes for the topless cleaner? Like, where you hire a girl to come out and clean your place, but with her top off.
I would.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I see the look in your face.
I totally. I would just sit there and watch her, make sure she's cleaning everything properly. No, I need you to stretch really high and get that corner right there. Maybe you need to jump and bat those cobwebs
out. I think she would catch on to that.
Maybe. But until she does.
Even if she does catch on to that, it's like that's what she's there for, right?
Right.
I guess she wants to be watched cleaning your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Do titties look good when they are cleaning your toilet? Or you're like, oh, don't get
when any, do they not?
Don't get any of that titty water. Don't get any of that toilet
Dookie water on it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's all sorts of ways that could go wrong. And it's like, these are pretty harsh, abrasive cleaners. Like, you want
her
showing,
she's topless. It doesn't mean she's not wearing gloves.
Yeah, but still, like, splashback on the nippies, like Clorox or something.
I'm fairly certain that these ladies are probably well trained at how to clean without splashing all over
themselves. I don't know. Can you clean without putting any splash? I can't.
Really? You splash toilet water all over yourself when you're cleaning your toilet?
I don't clean the toilet a lot. But basically, like, if some splashes on me, I'm not shocked. I'm like, oh, some splashed. Okay. I mean, I just take
a little more care when I'm scrubbing my toilet to not get the splash.
Well,
because I don't want to touch that.
Yeah, no one wants to touch it.
Right.
But I mean, you just don't know.
It just happens. So, hey, but okay, I think so you probably, actually saw an ad for this, like on TV ad or?
I picked up yesterday's LA Weekly, and that was one of the larger ads in the back of the book.
Wow.
And I was just like, this is really just like a thinly veiled thing of prostitution, right?
Kind of.
I mean, what do you think the percentage of jobs that these girls go out that they get asked to do more than, you know, sweep the floors?
Oh, I'm sure they're asked, but I'm fairly certain they're not going to do that.
Oh,
I don't think so, man. Maybe this is a veiled attempt at having a prostitution ring.
I mean, that's the way I see it.
Well,
I mean,
hey, like they said, it's not prostitution if you pay her for anything else.
That's true too.
You pay her to clean your toilet, and then she agrees to bang you. Well, I didn't pay her for that, and she did such a great job on the toilet that I did give her an extra $100. Yes,
I gave her just the tip.
Just the tip.
It just seems like that is such a desperate move. Like you need to see boobs so bad that you're gonna call it up to your house. I mean, I know you said you would do it.
Right.
I know you haven't done it.
No, I haven't done
it. But for someone to actively seek it out and get the dirty cleaners, which is what the...
Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
Nice. The dirty cleaners.
The dirty cleaners. It's like...
as long as it's not the ladies from Molly Maid popping up and taking their tops off.
But you never know. You don't know.
You're right.
It could be some 70-year-old Slovakian woman who's got like... hair coming out of her nipples
that are hanging around her waist.
You're like, oh no, like this is not good.
No, that doesn't. Okay, that's kind of turned me off to it now.
Thank you.
I'm not going to do it as much.
There's an ad also in the back of the book about in the prostitution section. It's been there for years and years for the blow and go haircut.
Uh huh.
I mean, like, what do you think that's supposed to be?
Gee, I don't know. They whip out a hair dryer, blow you with it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's amazing the way that people will use what seems like a normal thing. Like you wouldn't think you're going to go get a blowjob from your hairdresser. I mean, that's just not something that comes into your mind as like how you get your hair cut. And then it's like, what if she gives great, great blowjobs and terrible, terrible haircuts?
Yeah. You wind up with a bad haircut, but a smile on your face. It's not quite as good.
You start walking around looking like some Special Olympics guy with the awful hair, the big smile, this wobbly knee.
The old patch in your head where she buzzed off and started your hair. Oh, sorry about that. Don't worry. We can cover it with the rest of your hair.
Terrible. Give you a comb over and...
Yeah.
A comb over for the comb over.
Exactly.
Grody.
But, hey, those are... It's funny, when you said ad, I thought at first you were talking like you were watching television and you actually saw an advertisement. It's like, wait a second, you don't watch commercials, so how did you see this?
There's some commercials I will watch.
Yeah?
Some of them I will never skip through.
Like?
Let's say there's a new Girls Gone Wild commercial.
Nothing like seeing those stars.
Hey, it's better than paying for it.
Indeed. Not getting roped into that thing again.
Yeah, I remember I totally, you ordered one for like my birthday or something one year. How many years did they harass you?
Oh, no, we put your in for it. They kept sending them to you.
Yeah.
And as I recall, I canceled the payment source and they kept sending them to you and expecting us to pay for them. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I said I didn't want any more. We just wanted the one plus the free one you were sending with it.
I've still got them in my DVD collection now.
I know you do.
Hey, who throws that stuff away?
I wouldn't.
Crazy people.
Yep.
It's not like an old magazine where it gets crusty and dirty and gross. I mean, if you had to share any type of porn with somebody, a DVD porn is probably the best one too.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing on that. It's not a DNA factory anymore. No, or anything. No. Like
shouldn't be. Shouldn't be.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be really weird if it was. Like your fetish is to jitty off all over onto a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But every fetish exists, right?
Indeed. Like you said, there's that new Nicole Kidman and who's the...
I think it's Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
Where apparently it's about a couple who falls in love with pee play.
Fun.
To the point where like, I guess it starts off with them at the beach and the guy gets like stung by a jellyfish and...
So she agrees to pee on it to disinfect it.
Come on, babe. Like the only way I can have this not hurt is for you to pee on it. And
from there it just goes wrong.
Or really right, depending upon whose point of view it is.
Good point. But in my point of view, not good.
Yeah, dude, that is at least two or three steps beyond what I'm willing to do.
Yeah. At what point does that ring a bell in your head that says, hey, I really want a chick to pee on me because I need to be degraded a little bit more?
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
I mean, but disgusting is also relevant. I mean, like, where right now, where would you put it on a scale of 1 to 10 in disgusting?
Oh, probably like a 4.
A 4?
There's so much worse stuff.
Poop play.
Oh, that's probably 7 or 8, actually.
Vomit play.
That's like 5.
Vomit is below poop?
Yeah.
Wow.
Vomit doesn't disgust me as much as poop does.
I'd rather be vomited on than pooped on. Yeah. No, I think I'd rather be pooped on than vomited on.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind for your 40th birthday.
It just seems like vomit is acids in the stomach and all these other things coming out on you. And I mean, that's just...
poops everything that the acid broke down and shoved into your waste factory.
Yeah, but it's not coming out that way. I mean, it's...
it's coming out worse. So it's coming out a little more liquidy. I think I can, I can handle that a little bit. I can handle being puked on rather than having shit flung at me or shat upon.
It doesn't have to be flung at you. I'm not making you have sex.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, I don't, see, like, vomit play itself, that's just gross. But, I have been unfortunately vomited on by, like, little kids and stuff. It's never fun, but it happens. And it doesn't grow. I mean, sure, it's gross. But it doesn't gross me out as much as if I was to get pooped on by some animal or something.
Why don't you go see who's at our front door?
And yeah,
I'll
go check.
I'll keep talking on it. Someone's knocking pretty loud. Probably the police coming to shut us down, talking about poop play or something. Some dude who was on a show last night and left his thing. So, there's a story out of Brazil today where Chris Jericho, the pro wrestler from WWE, was in the ring, and apparently somebody threw up a Brazilian flag his direction, and he, as a heel, picked up the flag and he kicked it across the ring, and that really infuriated the local Brazilians.
Yeah, that seems. I would imagine that would,
to the point that the police detained him. Didn't ultimately arrest him, but they detained him and made him...
for his own protection is probably what he was told to begin with?
No, because they wanted to arrest him. Like, they wanted to take him to jail because it's desecrating their flag. And it just really pissed him off to the point that the police made him come out. And hey, listeners, you can stick around with me for a second. Hey, did you know where you left your phone yesterday?
No, I thought I left it on the
rack. Uh-huh. Oh, it's okay, man. Like, it barely matters.
By the way, this is Dan Boone from
the
More Music Radio Pod.
Okay, what's your show?
The More Music Radio Pod. We're on Thursday nights on SkidRowStudios.com.
What type of stuff do you guys do on there?
We're like a music variety show. We kind of like just do interviews and play a lot of local rock bands and, just try to have a good time and have comedians on and stuff. And
oh, cool, man.
All kinds of different stuff.
Who did you have on last night?
Last night we had Adam O.
Oh, okay.
He's got a show here on Skid Row as well. Uh-huh. He's doing a show on Sunday over at the Echo Studios. I'm sorry, at the Echoplex. It's like a kids show. So
like a kids comedy show?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So there's not enough of that for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, man. I don't see your phone sitting anywhere.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem.
Thanks.
Look, so Chris Jericho goes backstage and the police come out and they want to arrest him. And then he gets sent to the ring to apologize to the country of Brazil and to make sure that so he can try to keep his ass out of jail.
Yeah.
Then the WWE decided this morning to suspend him indefinitely because it was a non-approved act. And he was sent home from the tour of Latin America. And
well, that's kind of surprising because he's a pretty big name and
huge.
A pretty big selling point for that.
There's barely any bigger on this tour. I mean, John Cena is probably the only name that's bigger on the tour.
Wow. So he's gone, huh?
He's gone. Maybe he'll show up at PWG tonight.
That's what I was just thinking, is maybe he's going to be at PWG tonight because if he's indefinitely suspended, that means he ain't probably getting paid.
I mean, there's other guys from the WWE who have shown up there, so you just never know. That would be incredible.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Who I'm really hoping for is straight out of Japan, Kenny Omega. He's my favorite wrestler.
Maybe it could be RVD because he's wrestled for PWG before, hasn't he?
I hope not.
Really, he's not so good anymore?
He's just been so coddled in the whole WWE frame of wrestling.
I see.
That he doesn't even try to put on a good match anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
He's got his seven moves that he does. I mean, that's the way it works once you get to the big leagues. Once you make it to the WWE, you have to protect everybody else's moves, and you have to make sure that you're not better than the main event, and everything gets laid out so meticulously. Here, people just go balls to the wall every match.
Every match.
And try to...
It's really quite possible that the first match you see is the best match you see all night.
You just never know.
Right.
You just never know. It is incredible, and I love it.
So, do you have the lineup for the PWG show this weekend? Or?
I do. Could you talk for 2 seconds while I go try to put this audio together again?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll pull up the PWG list over there.
Right on. In space news, that Spaceship X, yeah. Is that what it was called? Yes, it has performed the maneuvers necessary for it to dock with the International Space Station, which really could wind up saving our country quite a bit of money in regards to when we have to get our astronauts and any supplies that need to get up there and other pieces of the space station itself up to that that wonderful International Space Station. And it's going to cost us a lot less money, and we don't have to give it to the Russians. They can get their own damn money.
I haven't actually seen, but do they have an estimate as to what the price difference is going to be?
I have not seen that either. We'll have to look that up because I am quite curious. But I have to imagine, you said it was $60 million
per astronaut to
launch people into space. I have to imagine that this American company is not going to charge them $60 million per astronaut. Maybe it's $60 million per flight, but if you can get four astronauts up there for that price, you certainly are getting a deal.
Good news.
Sounds like we got sound back.
Good news. We got a little bit of volume back in our from our computer.
So. Awesome.
I'm going to shut that down. Clickety-clickety. Turn that back on, and I'm going to head back in that room.
Sweet. So we'll be able to have some sound bites that we've been wanting to play, and also get you guys some comedy and some musical breaks in here so that we don't have to talk your ears off for 2 hours straight. So...
I mean, honestly, dude, I just don't think I have enough saliva in my mouth to be able to talk for 2 hours with no break at all. That is way, way, way too much.
Indeed.
In fact, since we've been going here nonstop without getting our little break, I'm going to play our top of the show promos because we need to get those in, and maybe come back with a music break on the other side.
Sure.
So back in a minute.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay. You are listening to Grand Theft Audio Radio with Jake Belcher and Brant Thoman.
All right, you've been back in with Grand Theft Audio Radio. So we're going to preview our guest that is coming in next Tuesday morning. We've got a guy here. His name, he goes by El Pinche Peter. Which I think is almost offensive. El Pinche?
The little Peter.
The little dick, I think.
Maybe.
El Pinche Peter. Check him out.
Better than El Camarones.
The shrimp. Yes, El Camarones, El Shrimp, and...
El Orator.
Yeah. So we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for coming. Hi, thanks for showing up, fuckers. I'm glad to be here. That's right. Marie is right. My name is El Pinche Peter. That's right. Bingy, because for the first 17 years of my life, all I heard my mom and dad say was Bingy Beaver. Bingy Beaver. Bingy Beaver. Actually, my birth name is Pedro. Yeah, rock. Yeah. That's right. Except when I started school, my white teacher said to me, how do you pronounce your name? Pedro or Pedro? I said, Pedro. She said, I can't pronounce that. I said, bitch, I'm 5 years old. I speak English as a second language and I can pronounce supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You can't get Pedro down. She said, fuck it, your name is Peter. If you're going to succeed in America, you're going to Americanize your name to Peter anyway. So I said, well, if you're going to Americanize my name, I'd rather you Americanize my middle name. She looks down at the paper and she says, you mean Jesus? No, bitch, call me Jesus. Yeah, it's good to see you guys out here, especially the women, because I'm a sucker for women. Oh, yeah. Oh, dun, dun, dun. Grab her tight. I specifically like two kinds of women. I like white women and I like black women. Now, I like white women because, well, how can I put this? Well, nobody sucks your dick better than a white girl. Yeah, that's right. I see I'm not the only one, right? That's right, yeah. And you know it's gonna be good, right? Because there you are, butt naked on her bed, and Samantha comes out of the bathroom putting on a hair scrunchie. Yeah. And, stretching her mouth and neck like an athlete.
Yeah, tell us what's the name of
that. In the background, you can almost hear. Dum, dum, dum. You know why? Because she's on a fucking mission. She's on a mission! And she don't give a fuck, right? She'll just grab your dick and just go downtown. I love that. I do, I'm addicted. Because let me tell you, a good blowjob, you should be able to close your eyes, lay back, and hear that motherfucker go on.
That's right.
When it comes to fucking a dick. I know, I hear you, brother. I hear you. Something happens when it comes to, you know, fucking a dick. All of a sudden, the white girl only knows one move. Up, down, up, down. I mean, fucking bitch. We ain't doing push-ups here. That's why I like black women. Yeah. I like black women because nobody sucks the fucking fucks a dick like a black woman. Yeah, that's right. And you know it's gonna be good. Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is about the sisters, but when you got a horny black woman, when she's got your butt naked on her bed, they like to run and jump at the end of the bed and just glare at you. I don't give a fuck who you are. A couple of minutes of that shit and you start feeling like a nervous little bitch. Be gentle, Shaniqua. Yeah, I know, I know. Yeah. And she don't care. She don't care. She'll just grab your dick. Even your dick flinches. I see you know what I'm talking about. Good for you, my brother. It's a fucking experience. Things just slowly slide down, right? Down and up. Side to side and all around. You know how you sisters do that, right? Don't make me a liar up in here. You know, and let me tell you something, folks. Before I fucked this black woman, I didn't know shit about Africa. You know?
Wait.
Dr. Middle. Not that I do now. You know, not that I do now, but all I know is that when I came, I passed out. I woke up butt naked, feeling free as a jaybird, chanting right behind her, feeling like I was back in the motherland. Armiwawa. Unfortunately, something happens when it comes to sucking a dick. As good as that experience is, you know? Because all of a sudden, when it comes to sucking a dick, the sisters only know one move too. What? I ain't sticking that shit in my mouth. It's a $350 weed, motherfucker. I ain't fucking enough of your ass, let me tell you that. I'm just kidding, motherfucker. Yeah, yeah. But it's good to be in Hollywood. I love it because I'm addicted to Mexican food. Thanks to my mom. I mean, how can I not be, right? For the first 17 years of my life, Mexican food for breakfast, Mexican food for lunch, Mexican food for dinner. Mom, fucking throw in a hot dog and break up that shit, will ya? Shut the fuck up and eat your tortillas and frijoles, cabrón. My mom, what can I say, right? But I love Hollywood because, you know, in Hollywood, when you get hungry, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you order. A Mexican's cooking your food.
Yeah!
I fucking know, I couldn't believe it, dude. It's just like being at home. You know, once I think I'm out, they fucking pull me back in, no fuckers. I didn't believe it myself. But the other day, I went to Chinatown for authentic Chinese, right?
Wrong!
I went up to the counter and I said, hey, my lady, I'll have the chicken chow mein. My lady turns to the kitchen and then she yells out, hey, Jose! Chicken chow mein! I said, no way! Jose? So I run to the back, I take a look in the kitchen, and sure enough, there's Jose working five walks at a time next to a little transistor radio that's just blasting away. Yo te tuve, te mantuve, yo te tuve, y te di, hoy no tengo ni te tengo ni mantengo ni te doy. No way, Jose! I couldn't believe it, man! I switch it up and test the theory. I went Italian. That's right, Italiano. I went to an authentic place. I mean, I should have known. They've said it on the sign, Cucina Italiana. So I went in. I said, hey, Stefano, voglio di mangiare pasta primavera, per favore. That's right, ladies. And Pinchy Peter speaks Italian. Yeah. The new breed of Mexican-American. They're making us trilingual now. That's right. Yeah, nevertheless, man, Stefano, too, turns to the kitchen, and he yells out, hey, Jose, pasta primavera, per favore, andiamo, mexicano, lavora. I said, non è possibile. Jose? That's Italian, by the way. For no way, Jose! So I run to the back, take a look in the kitchen, and sure enough, there's Jose again. Except this time he's boiling shit and marinating pastas, you know? But still, next to a little transistor radio that's just blasting away. And you know what? Now that I think about it, yeah, I think it was the same Jose from the Chinese joint. Yeah, don't tell me you fuckers can't get a job in this recession. Jose's got two. You can't get one. You know, because fucking, I tell you, because Mexicans are everywhere, right? In Southern California, we're fucking everywhere. That's right. Everywhere except on television, no, right?
Yeah.
That's what I tell my friends when they complain about all the Mexicans. Look at all the Mexicans. Look at all the Mexicans. Peachy Peter, shut the fuck up and turn on the television. Because it's tough to be Mexican and be on television. I tried it. I auditioned for the George Lopez show. Yeah. I went in, read my lines, right? The lady said to me, that was pretty fucking good. But can you be a little more Latino? That's what I said, brother. So you know what I did? I stabbed the bitch and stuck her purse. That's Latino enough, bitch. And she got lucky. She could have said Mexican. I would have been pregnant with the bitch, too. She lucked out. That's all I'm saying. She lucked out. You know, man. But thanks a lot for showing up, man. I do. And battling traffic, right? Fucking traffic sucks in L.A. Yeah. My God, I tell you what. I was on my way home the other night and I reached this intersection with a single, this asshole just camping out in a Jaguar at the green light. Yeah, at the green light. So I did what you would do, right? I honk my horn. Except he doesn't move. Yeah. So I honk my horn again. Except the second time, I did roll my window down and I casually suggested, go, asshole! It's green! And he doesn't move. He doesn't budge. You know, then the light turns red, he flips me off, and then he picks off blowing past the intersection. A fucking jerk. That's what I'm thinking, right? So there I am back at the intersection, sweetheart. Right? Just livid. Just pissed out of my mind, man. Just white-knuckling my steering wheel. Just fantasizing, love. Fantasizing that this asshole gets into an accident. Right in front of his house, too, so his whole family can look at his eye. Yeah. Right before his smashes his car right up against an 18-wheeler.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Scattering flesh and blood all over the fucking pavement. There I am into it, right? All of a sudden, from the background, I hear, go, asshole, it's green! So I waited for the light to turn red, I flipped them off, and then I took off blowing past the intersection. Yeah, man, it's been a good year for me. I quit smoking cigarettes. Yeah. Don't fucking applaud. I've been miserable ever since. This year fucking sucks, let me tell you. And I did it the toughest way possible, too. I started sucking my own dick.
Oh, it's tough, bro. It's tough.
But it fucking works. It does, man. You know, my best friend David tried it. Yeah, he came up a little short. One vertebra, he swears to me, is the only thing keeping him from a lifetime of nicotine-free existence. I almost got it. What can I say? It sucks to be him, right? Yeah. No, it sucks to be me, because I can suck my own dick and I'm still miserable. But it does work, guys. It does work, so if you can do it, I recommend it. It does fucking work. You know? Yeah, I know. Try it. Although there will be some side effects, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I'm constantly sticky. Sexually conflicted.
But hey, my lungs are working 100%.
Oh! Carson's coming to my next show, fuckers. Make sure you do too. Thank you, Hollywood!
Listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
Listening to Grand Theft Audio Radio with Jake Belcher and Brant Thoman,
the kings of internet radio.
Right on time.
You are right on time for hour two of Grand Theft Audio Radio. I'm Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brant Thoman, and we are broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com.
Los Angeles.
Yes, the city of angels.
So usually at this time, we kind of like to get into our week in review, the important stories of the week and things that we thought were particularly interesting. I guess to get ourselves started off in that, we have the story of the Facebook IPO and that the whole way that that's gone down this week. Mm-hmm. And there's been so much that has come out on it this week, from the fraud that happened with the big houses and yep. changing the expectations with them. And another story on it came out to this week where you're really starting to see how much money people have lost
already
lost on this. Apparently, if you add up everything, we have now lost $2.3 billion in cash that existed last Friday.
In a week.
That no longer exists now.
Right.
Unless it bounces back, which it might. It probably will.
I would suspect that it will.
I mean, someday it's going to be a $50 stock, right? More than likely.
More than likely, I would say yes. But unfortunately, a lot of the small investors who were using like some of their 401k or an entire month's salary to try and purchase some shares of this stock watched their value decrease so incredibly rapidly that there were people who, when it was 38 and it dropped to 35, they were like, I can't afford to lose any more right now. I'm going to resell it right now and put it out there at 35 bucks, which thusly dropped the price again.
Some people bought 1,000 shares at that price, and then they lost $3,000 right. in a day.
Well, some of the other problems is because there was some technical issues on the trading day with in regards to the NASDAQ. For one thing, the trading bell did not ring at the top of the hour like it usually does. It started at a half hour late.
Because he wasn't even there.
Well, he wasn't there. It wasn't because he wasn't there. It was because of the technical issues they were having in regards to, like, being able to handle the trades that were going to go on. Mm-hmm. So there were people who were placing orders and then told, well, the order, we had to cancel your order because we didn't have the stock to sell you. So, okay, great. But the order does go through. And there's a second order that's put in because, well, I didn't get in on the first one. I want to place a second order.
Because they thought that it hadn't gone through.
Right, because they were told that it had not gone through. But then it does go through. And then the second order went through. So now that person is out for 2,000 shares when he only intended to purchase 1,000 shares. And that guy himself is just like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. They should buy these back from me at the price that I paid for them because you guys told me my first order didn't go through. It's the only reason I placed a second order for this stock.
And it's down again today. It's down to 31.82. So the person who sold at 35 now looks like a genius.
Yes.
Because he would have lost another $3,500 bucks or something.
Well, they talked about how like Visa and Google I'm blanking on the third one, but those two had huge IPO jumps when they were initially offered. I mean, like 45% increase in value just in the first day of trading. This one severely underperformed, especially since it only wound up just above where it started at the day at 38.20 last Friday. But the reason it stayed above that price was because the big houses that were underwriting this, like the JP Morgan Chases and those, they put more of their money behind it to keep that value at that point. So it doesn't look like a total flop. But it's coming across right now as one of the biggest mistakes in like IPO history.
Pretty crazy. Also got a story this week about 4 tons of marijuana found floating off the coast of Southern California.
Just sitting there out in the middle of the ocean.
Man, that is, I wish I was a fisherman or...
Wish I had a little dinghy.
Scuba gear.
I didn't even need the scuba gear. It was floating on the top.
Something like
just give me an inner tube and a paddle.
Yeah,
and I'll bring one of those bales back.
That would have been beautiful.
4 tons valued at $3.5 million street value.
Well, I have
possibly less if it was going to the dispensaries because they're pretty.
I have
reasonable.
Rehooked up since we read the story, so I know that this didn't come from my supply chain.
Oh, good.
So, phew.
Yes, indeed.
That's a nightmare scenario. There'll be all sorts of people this weekend who were expecting that weed to show up.
Yep.
For their holiday weekend. And it's just not going to be there now.
I really do continue to think it's one of those man-made submersibles and that it sank and that the guy got out and swam to shore to keep himself alive and said, to hell with the weed. And it kind of, as that little boat sank, it all floated to the top. And if you were to go down and start searching the bottom of the ocean floor, probably find something like that.
At least that makes sense. I mean, that story seems like it could have been true in the way it happened.
I've seen stuff... on CNBC, they do like Marijuana Incorporated. They talk about the way that it's smuggled into this country, and they actually showed one of these little devices that was used. It was captured by the U.S. Coast Guard, but this thing literally just cuts across the very top of the water with just this little canopy area where the driver sits, and they're very difficult to see.
Those things, those shows are pretty awesome. The Marijuana Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see the name marijuana in a title of something and not watch it.
Right. I'm always curious. What are they going to talk about today?
Yeah, I totally want to see what the dealio is, and those are awesome. One story we'll have to talk about with Peter still on Tuesday when we come back. Remember, folks, we have Monday off, is the whole, like we were talking about earlier, El Camarones, El Loco, and El Orator, having been caught. They go to court today.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what the result of that comes out.
If there's going to be bail or not.
which, and you could set it at $1 billion, and they're drug dealers. They're going to find it.
They're going to find it.
I mean, like, that's just the way it is. They'll just go into some town and start killing
people.
They'll
just pull up a truck filled with cocaine and marijuana and go, this is worth $1 billion. We're just going to put this in here for now. Can you please let our friends out?
Sounds about right.
That was a nice little racist Mexican accent I used there.
Can you do a non-racist Mexican accent?
I think as a white person, no, I can't.
I think you have to have dignity.
Dignity.
Like dignity in your voice.
Like the world's most interesting man.
Who we only suspect is Mexican, right?
Right.
He's probably like Spanish or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what's really happening there. You also have the story of Jonah Hill seemingly purposefully regaining his weight.
He's on the anti-Jared diet.
Dude, I mean, he did look creepy when he was thin.
He actually didn't look healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that he looked healthy when he was, when he first started out, he was a really big boy. And then he slimmed down a bit to a point where it's like, okay, he's looking healthy. And then he got unhealthy looking by just dropping too much weight.
And he just didn't look, he just wasn't funny anymore.
Right. Fat guys are inherently funny.
There's no doubt. I mean, this happens to all sorts of people. You have Kevin James, mm-hmm. who has yo-yoed up and down because he tries to look like he wants to be thin and stuff. But then once he's thin, he's not funny anymore.
Right, and he's not getting cast in the parts that they want to put him in because of his physical stature, his shape and size. But hey, you know, he did get Paul Blart Mall Cop.
When you have Jennifer Hudson, who's now starting to gain back some of her weight, mm-hmm. and it's actually making her sing better again. And when she was thinner, like, she didn't have the same type of vibrato in her voice or something, mm. or it didn't sound as good. I mean, it's anything's better though than the opposite of that. Like Christian Bale, did you ever see The Machinist?
No, I didn't see The Machinist.
Okay, The Machinist was this movie where he dropped 63 pounds between making. The Fighter and The Machinist, and he's just so skin and bones and disgusting in it that you want him to put weight back on too.
Right,
he just looked awful.
Well, 63 pounds. He wasn't an overweight guy to begin with.
No, I mean normal weight. So I mean he was just bones.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Tom Hanks looked because he dropped like 30 pounds for Castaway. Uh-huh. In between, I mean. At the end of the, I don't remember how they did it, but he had to lose 30 pounds to give himself that emaciated look for when he's on the island. And then they also had to film it while he was healthy for all the other scenes when he's back in America, mm-hmm. or starts off in America. So
then you have the traditional people who have had their long-term struggles, like Oprah, and mm-hmm. She's now back to being heavy again. Probably that stress of her network not working out is making her.
And the whole thing with Michelle Obama and Barack. So.
What's this shit about?
What do you mean?
Actually, that was her quote.
Oh, yeah. what's all this shit?
Hey, you know who looks the worst, I think, that has lost weight? And I really hate the way he looks now. Drew Carey.
He looks weird.
Yeah.
He looks really odd as thin as he is. Like, whenever I turn on The Price is Right, if I'm at home when it's on TV, it's just like every time he comes on, it's like, wow, that's just not... I don't know. It also seems... I don't know. When I watch that show now... He doesn't have the presence that Bob Barker did. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a very funny guy, and he continues to try to be funny with the guests and everything. But there was something about Bob that is, I think, irreplaceable. And Drew Carey's a good choice, I guess, for this, but it's just, he just doesn't, maybe it's something he's going to have to grow into.
Does he still do the spay neuter your pets at the end?
I believe he does. I believe because it's still a Bob Barker production, it's part of the shtick at the end.
He's got to say that. You know, we're going to see a lot more of this coming up pretty soon, but the 50 Cent has a new movie that's coming out in July. It's called Things Fall Apart.
Uh-huh.
And he, for that film, dropped 35 pounds.
Wow.
And he looks like just a tiny, scrawny little crackhead guy in it.
Wow.
I mean, 50 Cent's always been a pretty full-faced guy.
Full-faced, relatively muscular.
Yeah.
And he had to burn off a bunch of that muscle, it seems.
Yeah, I mean,
he's also, speaking of burning off, he's also removed a tremendous number of his tattoos.
Yeah, and he's actually dropped, he went from 214 pounds to 160 pounds.
Wow.
So that's a 54-pound drop. I mean, that's dedication. You look at the guy and you don't think he's much of an actor, but at least here he's trying to be mm-hmm. something that he isn't. I mean, like a really crazy thin person. I like fat people, I guess. I mean, like Kelly Osbourne, when she first came out on The Osbournes, I thought she looked great. Now she looks like shit when she's all thin and gross looking mm-hmm. to me. And like Jared Leto, like when he gained all that weight to do Chapter 27, the movie about John Lennon's killer. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked better when he was fat. It's like he's full of life or something. But sorry there, Jonah Hill. I don't know if we're going to like you anymore now that you're fat again. But at least I'm willing.
We'll give you another chance because you're fat again.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to hold it against you forever.
You're bound to be funny at some point.
You know, and the opposite can be true. You have a guy who used to be funny, or a guy who wasn't funny, but then he lost the weight. Now I find him funny. What's his name from Roger and Me? Michael Moore.
Michael Moore.
Have you seen him doing the media rounds lately?
No.
He's really, really thin now, too. And I think he's hilarious now. Like, I couldn't take serious at all what he was saying before when he's trying to save people's lives and all these other things. Like, come on, fatty. Like, you're just trying to figure out a way of making sure there's always a craft service table around you.
Yeah.
That is your full goal.
Where is the nearest one?
You aren't tricking me. Okay, one of the other entertainment stories this week that I just think is ridiculous was Johnny Depp being made an honorary member of the Comanche tribe.
Yep.
It's just like...
all because he wears a bird on his head.
Did you think about like Indians as having like dignity and stuff? You don't think about them pandering to Edward Scissorhands.
Edward.
I mean, it's just... That's so ridiculous. I can't wait till the movie comes out and he just shits all over the Comanches in it. And then they're like, oops, we should not have made him a brother. What do you think his Indian name is? I'm going to go with Little Bear Whose Bracelets Jingle a Lot. Because he's always got so many bracelets on. It's two bracelets away from being over-the-top gay.
Just two.
Yeah.
And these are all the same ones that he wore back on 21 Jump Street.
Where did you hear that? Because my wife told me the same goddamn thing.
I'm using your wife as my source.
Okay. Because I was like, what? There's no way. Like, I thought that had to be something that that came out. Okay, I have to find out what the source of that is because it just seems ridiculous to me. Like, that was a long time ago, dude.
Granted. But you think about it, if you have a daily routine where you're going to go and put your bracelets on when you're done showering and you're going to go off to do whatever you're going to go do, and then when you're done with your day, you take them off and you put them back in the exact same spot, they're always going to be there. Although I find it hard to believe that during the last 30 years, he hasn't lost a few of them.
Yeah.
Like, how do they not fall off your wrist at some point?
How does a strap not break?
Right. Crazy.
It barely makes any sense at all to me. Okay, so if you go to johnnydepp.org, apparently you can buy replicas of all of the jewelry that Johnny Depp wears. I mean, this is some pirate group that's making money off of off of him. And his jewelry is just god awful. I mean, the Jack Sparrow beads and the skull rings and the heart bracelets that he wears. I mean, it's just, it's like a little girl's bedroom. I mean, none of this stuff makes me take him serious. And this whole idea of the Comanches just deciding that he is now one of their brothers, I think it's going to come back and bite him in the ass at some point.
Probably. The Mohawk tribe's going to be pissed.
That wouldn't surprise me either. And then our saddest news this week in television was the creator of the remote control has passed away.
A man who has changed all of our lives and made it so that there's no need to walk to the TV.
He's made each one of us at least 10 pounds fatter.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Just by being able to sit around and control things without really doing anything ourselves.
I think that's how we were kept thin as kids, is by being mom and dad's remote control when it was time to change the channel. Get up and change the channel.
It helps.
I mean, granted, it's only a half a dozen steps maybe, but if you have to do it 4 or 5 times a night, keep that kid skinny. Let him become a fatty.
Get some movement in your body. And you know how hard it is to change a channel now without a remote control?
Like I've said, I think when we talked about it the other day, I have to go to the side of my TV and look to find the button I need to be able to power it on, to change the input, to change the channel to the volume. Just like, this is not fun.
It's a huge drag. The fact that anybody even wants to change the channel by hand is ridiculous. When I lose my remote, I just watch whatever's on TV. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to bother even trying to change it. And I've got 4 of the same fucking remote in my house.
Yep.
I could walk to the other room and grab a remote that controls another TV and at least bring it back to this one. I can't control the volume.
Right, but at least you'd be able to control the box.
Yeah, and go up and down and try to figure out something else to watch. But Nah, that's too much work for me. So, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Remote Control Inventor. Mr. Remote Control Inventor. We need a one of those Budweiser commercials for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those were awesome.
Those were cool.
Following up on that one, there's also the new TiVo service from DirecTV. No, from Dish Network. That is now going to make it possible for you to instantly have all of your commercials removed while without even having to like fast forward to them anymore.
Right.
Just going to go through and just get rid of them completely.
That's not going to make the networks happy.
I mean, how could it?
Yeah.
Because that's all that's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking for a while, like, okay, if I was an advertiser, how would I design an ad that people would even want to watch in regular motion? And I think I would just give up at this point. I mean, you have that 30-second jump that takes about 2 seconds to get through. Like, one, two, it jumps forward 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just going to leave a static image up on the screen that says, like, hey, dickhead, quit fast-forwarding, but still buy some Coke.
Right. Well, what I find interesting is, like, my TV, because it's a Wi-Fi-enabled television, on certain channels, when something comes up and they're advertising, there'll be a little symbol that will come up in the corner of my screen that I can click on to.
Is it Shazam or something?
With something like that, yeah.
A blue symbol? Because I've started seeing this thing pop up.
I see one that looks like kind of like a broken S.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can click on that to get more information. It takes you to a different channel for it, but still, you're usually watching a commercial when that pops up.
Yeah.
I suspect we're going to start seeing those pop up while the show is on. I mean, like how TBS does that little thing in the corner where you might be watching one of their shows and then a promo for another show will come up. Nothing's being said, but you're just going to see them. The Family Guy capped on.
The Family Guy was incredible.
They capped on that.
I can't believe they did that.
Two guys back to back. Yeah.
Two guys back to back?
They're standing there, arms folded, standing next to back, and that's the name of the show is Two Guys.
Oh, the best one they did on there was a commercial for The Simpsons.
That's right.
I mean, it was really dark. I mean, to the point that Peter murdered the entire family and had sex with Marge. And last thing you hear is Maggie's of the pacifier and a gunshot going off. I mean, it was dark.
Wow.
Damn it, I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so disappointed that we're still in May and they didn't bother taking sweeps all the way through the end of May. Like, we should have still had new cartoons this weekend.
Yep.
But everything's
now. Well, okay, this is I think it usually ends for this holiday weekend.
It pisses me off.
Well, Memorial Day weekend's the kickoff to the summer.
So it's just all crap that's going into reruns now.
Yeah, well, it's all going into reruns. But the great thing is that basic cable does now start up its own little summer runs of, like, I know, granted, it's USA is stuff like Royal Pains and awful. Suits and stuff awful. Like that. But at least there's some new production that's out there. You don't have to seek out reruns. Unless there's something you missed. But if you've got a DVR, how do you miss stuff?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, thank God for cable. I mean, the entire idea of being stuck back with just the 8 channels or whatever we had before mm-hmm. is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so many channels and so much time to fill that there's just bad choices being made. It was announced this week that the WWE is taking their flagship show, Raw, and they are now turning it into, on their 1,000th episode, they are now going to a 3-hour format every week.
Whew, that's a lot of wrestling.
Dude, that's way too much, and I love watching wrestling. I have a hard time with WWE these days, but the whole idea that they think that they have enough content to double their output on Monday nights by 50%.
Well, I remember when we were in our 20s, there was a point there where we were watching 3 hours of wrestling every Monday because
Because WCW Nitro was a 3-hour show.
Right, right. But it was 4 hours because they always overlapped. Their last hour overlapped the first hour of Raw.
And then they had the 2 hours beforehand.
Right. So you have 2 hours there and then you have 2 hours of Raw and we would be switching back and forth to see who was in the ring to see if we wanted to watch whatever promo or wrestling match was on.
Man,
and even
awesome.
That was like we would be like, whew, all right, it's 11 o'clock and wrestling's finally over.
I'm fucking exhausted, man.
I'm gonna go to bed.
Hey, let's go play some.
Let's go play some WWE on the
Nintendo.
On the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, those were fun times.
Yep,
that game was awesome.
3 hours is just. Although I did say to you earlier, at least that means you might get an extra 12 minutes of wrestling.
If that, dude, that seems pretty generous. I mean, they don't even bother anymore. They just put on promo package after promo package, and
somebody runs out, starts to beat the crap out of them, and then they get ganged up on, and then the refs come in and separate them all, and then it's on to the next one.
Some third rate celebrity comes on. Like last week, they had on James Roday, who is one of the stars of Suits.
Like, oh, okay.
Because that's another USA Network show, and they came on, and he was just booed unmercifully. A couple of weeks before that, they had on Will Sasso, Sean, Jimmy Janglers, whatever his name is, and I don't even know who played Mo in the new Three Stooges, and came on. You think Three Stooges in WWE, that seems like it's a good match.
Yeah.
You've got people who love violence, people who love slapstick humor. The crowd couldn't have shit on them any more vociferously. Now,
did they come in as the Three Stooges?
They sure did.
That's why.
They came in as the Three Stooges. They went to the ring. They did a whole bit with the sound effects and everything.
Right.
And it was met by crickets. I mean, there was just...
Are we supposed to be laughing?
Boo! We hate you. He actually went on Conan a couple days later, and they showed part of the clip and the non-reaction that the entire bit got, and he was embarrassed that he even went and thought that he could get this audience to follow him in his movie. It happens time after time. I mean, they've had people on there who you would think would be home runs. Pee Wee Herman, they didn't give a shit about. The only people that they've ever gotten excited about, like outside of the WWE universe that comes in and joins, is when somebody who actually can get involved physically, like a Shaquille O'Neal when he came in and went one-on-one against the Big Show. I mean, that was pretty awesome. They had the members of the Boston Red Sox after they won the World Series, and they got into a little scuffle in the middle of the ring with everybody else. That was cool.
So it's like if it's a real sports star, a legitimate person that you know is in physical shape and actually has some talent.
But if it's Sharon Osbourne and she's coming in to judge the wrestlers on how good their other skills are, then
No, it's awful. No.
They brought in... Okay, I have to take it back. There was one other non-wrestling sports person that came in and actually got over pretty big with the crowd, and we just talked about him a couple minutes ago, Bob Barker.
Oh, I would imagine. Dude, that's such an iconic person. You can't boo Bob Barker.
Bob Barker got over huge. They did the... a whole WWE version of
The Price is Right. That's right. I remember that sketch. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You know, see, and I think that's also part of it, is if you write something that's really good, like the Three Stooges coming out and doing one of their routines, that's unoriginal. That's not funny. But if they were going to maybe do commentary alongside, I don't know who's doing the play-by-play these days.
They have probably the worst team in the history of the business. Awesome. They have one decent guy. They have Jerry Lawler, but he's not a commentator.
He's a color man.
Yeah. Their lead commentator is Michael Cole, who doesn't know the name of a single move. He calls everything a Hurricane Rana. I mean, it can be a scoop slam. It can be a Harlem Heat rejection.
They could lock up, and he's going to call it a Hurricanrana.
Yeah, Hurricanrana.
Hurricanrana. I mean,
yep, that is his go-to word. That, and he likes, anytime he's seen somebody do something before, that's vintage, whoever it is. Like, it could be a guy premiering that day, someone you've never even seen before.
And that move is vintage.
That's vintage Sin Cara. I mean, what are you talking about? We've never even seen this guy before.
Does JR not sit back there and, like, pipe into his headphones?
No.
Not anymore, huh?
He's not allowed to. After he had his bout with Bell's palsy, Vince McMahon decided that he was just too ugly now to be on television. And JR didn't want to do that traveling to just sit backstage. And
I see. He wanted to be in the limelight a little
he
bit.
He still does. I mean, he wants to... he's one of the two people now who are in the booth next year for Oklahoma football.
Oh, sweet.
So, I mean, he's getting other on-air gigs. But Vince McMahon just thinks he's too old and shitty looking to invest any airtime into.
Right. We'll put Michael Cole on instead.
Then the third member of their...
please tell me it's Taz again.
Taz is the commentator for TNA.
Oh, okay.
So at least he still has an on-air
role
somewhere. The one that they have here now is Booker T.
So Booker T's not wrestling anymore.
Booker T is... He has his own organization down in Houston, which is also called PWG. Like
Pro Wrestling Goofballs?
Something like that. And he is the king of the cliche. He went to the well one too many times on that one. You could see he saw that one coming. He just says things, the same lines over and over and over again, to the point where they have no meaning at all anymore. It just means nothing. For him to sit there and here comes a rich guy, so he just yells, money, 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 money. He's just like, wow, this is really awful.
Booker.
I'm not sure who this appeals to. Stupid wrestling. It just gets so...
Well, at that level, it gets way too overhyped for not really getting a lot of product.
Yeah, and they're trying to do stuff now. I mean, they brought in Brock Lesnar and...
Brought him back.
And then he can't talk. He can't cut shit. So they brought in Paul Heyman to be his mouthpiece. Now, this is the first guy to come over from UFC to the WWE. He's quickly been followed now by two other guys from UFC who are going to pro wrestling.
Cool.
One is a guy named King Mo, who was the Pride Fighting champion.
Right.
Another guy is Eric Bellator, who is out of Strikeforce, and he was a champion there. So they have a Strikeforce, UFC, and a Pride Fighter champions who are now mixing it up in wrestling.
See, now that's, to me, sounds like you should put those three guys together as a group and maybe show them like dominating over the actual WWE superstars for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to be used to their style of fighting.
It would make it a more interesting idea of having different types of people going after each other.
Mm-hmm.
The real problem with WWE, and I know this can't be that exciting to some people, but the real problem is that they have consolidated so much of their training facilities that all the guys who make it to the roster are being trained by the same people.
So they're learning the same moves and learning the same shtick, basically. They're not learning anything new or unique or individual.
Yeah, they're all coming out in very cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, this guy's just like that guy. This guy's just like that guy. This guy's just like that guy. And as opposed to where it used to be, like, where they had the territory system where guys went all across the country to different places and they worked different styles. And it just worked so much better to be able to get that type of experience and differences.
And it allows for somebody who's trained in one area to reach to learn how to work with guys who have been trained in a different way.
Yeah.
And that way, so when they do move up to the WWE, they're ready for whatever's going to come instead of having to literally stage every single aspect of the fight.
Yep, it's awful. Okay, before we go to our break, and I promise that on the other side of this, we will not talk about pro wrestling anymore. I do actually want to give the rundown to the PWG show, which goes on tonight in Reseda at 8 o'clock. You have B-Boy versus Famous B in a singles match. You have Michael Elgin versus Willie Mack, who's SoCal's number one prospect right now. Pretty awesome. We have the Super Smash Brothers versus the Young Bucks, TJ Perkins versus Ryan Taylor, El Generico versus Ricochet, and Kevin Steen versus Brian Cage. Going to be...
Oh, that one's been postponed because Kevin Steen is injured.
We don't know who's going to be
the special guest wrestler this evening against Mr. Cage.
Can't wait to come in on Tuesday morning, because remember, we're off on Monday, and tell you guys who they replaced him with, because I'm sure you're just as excited to hear about this one as I am. Speaking of just as excited to hear, next Thursday in studio with us, we have Clownvis Presley. This is my favorite song that Clownvis does. If you don't like this, I don't know what type of a soul you have. Ladies and gentlemen, Clownvis Presley with Jesus Christ Eating on a Chicken Wing. Tell him something.
Spending Christmas with you guys is really something special, so thank you very much. You know, when I think about Christmas, two things come to mind. And it probably is the same for everyone in this goddamn room. Jesus Christ. And?
Chicken wings!
How did you guys know that?
It's his birthday!
It resonates. It's because it's resonating in our generation, right? That's what it's called when everybody thinks the same thing. Can I have a drink? Thank you very much. Narco Pizza, up next, ladies and gentlemen. He's a hell of a guy, Jay. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is Jesus Christ, and also what I'm talking about is chicken wings. And without those two things, we would not have this song. chicken wings. He's got hot sauce and ranch to dip in. Maybe he's in little baby heaven. Jesus Christ eating on a chicken wing. It's his birthday today, so let him have it his way. He likes it hot, he likes it spicy.
That's Jesus Christ eating on a chicken wing. And this is his new track, Fresh Prince in the Ghetto.
Okay, hit it, Jazzy Jeff. Yo, hip-hop music makes me move my feet. I helped an old lady carry groceries across the street. Hey, look at this weak-ass rapping motherfucker. Come here over here, little bitch. Oh, come on, give me a chance.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days in the ghetto. I was chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school in the ghetto. Then a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got into one little fight and my mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and your uncle in Bel Air. So I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh, it had a dice in the mirror in the ghetto.
You want to take a taxi cab from Philadelphia to Los Angeles?
Well, how else am I gonna get there?
Now, if anything, I'd say this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it, yo homes to Bel Air.
Okay, but it is not going to be cheap.
I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, yo Holmes, I'll smell you later. I looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air. Now I'm telling you kids all across the land, take it from me, parents just don't understand.
That's Clownvis Presley, the King of Clowns. I have all of his album on my iPhone, and I suggest you do as well.
That was a great new song.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening
to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
You are listening to Grand Theft Audio Radio with Jake Belcher and Brant Thoman.
The motherfucking kings of internet radio.
That's what we are.
Word. Okay, so let's finish up our weekly review here on Fuck Around Fridays. Actually, this has been a pretty focused Friday.
It really has. Not very fuck around.
Yeah, I don't know what we can do to alleviate that. But we'll try to figure out something special in the next 26 minutes or something. Okay, so we have a story out of, this is our little sports section. Number one, the Olympic flame went out,
yep.
Which is always fucking hilarious.
For the first time.
Man, I love that. It's just like the look on little kids' faces in the video when they see it, like, just scatter to the ground and the flame goes out. That's just...
Well, I also like the fact in the story that they talked about how, you know, you used to be able to purchase your torch from the Olympic Committee as a memento, and it's a good way of them raising some money to be able to help continue to hold the Olympics. But, you know, they used to be $800 to a couple of $1,000 for...
Which is pretty expensive.
Which is still expensive, but it's a piece of history, especially if you were the one running with it. For a stick with flames shooting out of the top of it. And that's literally what this year's torch is.
Yeah, it's not like a pretty one with like jeweled handle or anything like it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. It honestly looks like a torch that you would use to hunt down Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, get him!
Yeah, get him. You need a pitchfork in the other hand and this torch and you're ready to go.
Perfect.
But $25,000.
That's just crazy.
I mean, it's a huge honor to be asked to do so in the first place. And so you think, okay, well, what can I do? I've been asked, I'll give back to the Olympics by purchasing this wonderful torch. How much do you want for it? $25,000. No, I'm going to go buy a new car. I'll be driving around instead.
I'm just going to break off a stick in my backyard and light one end on fire, then stick it in like a bucket of water and then pull it out and be like, this was the stick.
This is the stick.
Because that's about what it looks like.
Yeah.
Not impressive. Sports story number two that made our cut of the best of the week was out of Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
where a football player decided to tweet out the results of his HIV test.
Yes.
A guy named David Clowney.
Clowney,
I know, what a perfect name. Which works out perfect with Clownvis, too, right?
Yes.
Before him. He tweeted out a picture of his HIV, negative HIV test results.
So, hey, way to go. Way to not to have the HIV.
It's just like...
to wrap it up when you're having sex with bitches.
Yeah, good God. Good job, guy. Good job. But I guess we should look at it that way. Instead of just being some crass, gross thing for anyone to share that type of information. I mean,
hey, ladies, you interested in getting with a Buffalo Bill? You know this one's clean.
It's so dangerous to be around those NFL receivers. Like, they're going to shoot themselves in the leg or, I mean, something bad invariably happens. They're going to make them fight dogs. I don't know what they're
doing. For those kind of guys, if you're in a place and you see someone make it rain at a strip club, that's a red flag. That's time to go. Because that's when things are about to go bad.
Man, have you ever watched any surveillance video I doubt you have. I watched a surveillance video of Adam Pac-Man Jones when he went into a club and said to make it rain $40,000 on the stage. It was fucking pandemonium and chaos. There were more regular people on stage trying to steal the money than there were strippers who were able to scoop it up. Adam Jones is actually going and trying to get his money so he can make it rain again. I mean, when God throws water to the ground to make it rain, he doesn't take his hands and scoop it up and bring it up again to throw down on you.
So even he was reaching down, grabbing his own money and making it rain some more.
Again,
making it flutter, making it even more difficult for the girls to grab their money.
What do you think the percentages of people who make it rain are? If it's just black people and white people, like, what percentage of the people who make it rain do you think are black? And what percentage of the people who make it rain do you think
are white? I've only seen someone make it rain at a strip club twice.
Uh-huh.
Both times, black dude.
Black guy.
Black guy.
I mean, Arsenio Hall was the winner of this week's
Celebrity
Apprentice. And when he had someone bring in money for it, he took the money from them and then he made it rain on the people.
Nice.
It's totally a black thing. Like white people, I don't think we make it rain. Like I've never seen it happen before. I mean, I may, may throw some nickels at your head and make it hail, but I am not going to quote unquote make it rain.
I prefer when I'm going to be sitting by the stage and watching the girls dance, you know, just tossing the, you know, a dollar here every couple of, every 20 seconds. Here's another dollar.
That's a pretty,
thanks for being nice.
Pretty quick route. So, I mean, let's say a girl dances for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That means that she's going to pull, $9 out of you for one dance.
Maybe.
You may as well.
If I'm really enjoying the dance.
Pay the extra $6 and go get a lap dance from her in the back.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you should, dude. Like, that's a sucker's bet.
There's no sex in the champagne room.
No, but titties can get mashed up in your face pretty good, and she can grind on your dick.
Good point.
Like, which is not happening when you are on the tip rail.
Yeah, doesn't happen when you're on the tip rail. Although, if you are, they will tend to show you a little more attention if you are tossing the bills on the...
Well, yeah, because they think you have money in your pocket.
Well, that's fine.
That's what they want from you.
Think that all you want, bitches. I don't got a lot. I can't afford the $20. I got $9 for the next 3 minutes to watch you dance. And then I have enough for another beer, and then I'm out of here.
See, that's where I have the advantage, because I don't need that other beer.
Right.
I just don't need it. Okay, most awkward moment in a strip club, sitting there with a girl, and here comes the waitress, who's totally shaking you down to buy the girl a drink.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sham beyond all shams.
Well, they're taught to do that everywhere.
$12 for a pineapple juice, please.
Yes, please.
It's like a... Wow, I mean...
Oh, and by the way, there's a two-drink minimum.
Bitch, you couldn't have ordered the $3 Coke. I mean, it's like, you had to go with a $12 pineapple juice.
That better be some damn good pineapple juice.
And you'll never know, because she's not going to share it with you.
She's not going to share.
She's not even going to drink.
Because it's going to come in a little cup. It's not even going to be a full-size, like a pot. Like, you get a big glass of soda, you're going to get a little sippy cup for the pineapple juice, because they only come in little cans. So they just give you the one can. Here you go, $12.
Yeah.
Can cost them like 30 cents.
That is a scam. You know this is a scam? This $1 million parking spot in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting. I don't even know where else to go with that one.
I look forward to finding out who it is that purchases it. It's probably going to be kept confidential. But at some point, someone's going to get down there and someone's going to get a photo of whose car it is.
It'll be Ryan Seacrest, or it'll be some butthole that
Donald Trump, maybe. No, Donald Trump loves having the paparazzi take his picture.
And I don't think that he travels by car. I think he travels by helicopter.
Everywhere?
It seems to. Like, wow. Every time he shows up somewhere, it's always on the helicopter.
Oh, hey, there's the Donald.
Dude, that's what I would do. If I was balling like that.
You're a billionaire, yeah.
You call me Helicopter Jake for as much as you'd see me there.
Actually, I would purchase myself. If I was a billionaire, I would get myself one of those Zeppelins, and that's how I would go get from spot to spot.
It takes a little while, but totally worth it.
I don't care. It's a more pleasant ride.
Okay, so.
Not as loud.
Last week was the kickoff of America's Got Talent. And they do this whole thing where they introduce all the judges. The first judge, Sharon Osbourne, shows up in like a horse-drawn carriage.
Of course.
Howard shows up in just this pimped-out black limo. I mean, just
right.
Everything as clean as possible. And then here, flying through the air in a jetpack, comes Howie Mandel. Fucking Howie Mandel, who I can't stand.
Flies in on a jetpack?
On a jetpack, dude. Like total James Bond style from...
So he's like sitting there with the controllers and he actually...
The two hand controllers in front. Like you see like the...
How did he handle it? Pretty well?
Really good, dude.
Seems like maybe he owns one and he's been practicing.
Very possible.
I don't... Hey, you know what? Maybe that's the way I would go instead. Scrap the Zeppelin. Give me a jetpack.
Jetpack. That jetpack is the winner.
It'd be awesome.
I'm also totally excited... That
is it only three judges?
Yes.
Okay.
Three judges and Nick Cannon as like the host.
Okay. Now what's the new show? No, X Factor is the one that has Britney, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened yesterday with Britney?
No.
She actually got up and walked off.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
She tweeted later that she just needed a little break, but she was gone for four auditions. So like these four other people show up to perform for everybody.
I think I did hear something about this.
Yeah, she...
Somebody came in and performed one of her songs very badly,
mm-hmm.
and it upset her to the point where she felt that she had to leave.
Right. So she walked out, and then when she got flack for getting up and leaving and not being willing to listen to these other people who are auditioning for the show, she then tweeted out, it's like, oh, I just needed a break, LOL. I mean, LOL.
That's where Debbie Lovato has an advantage over Britney Spears because nobody knows any Debbie Lovato songs.
Right.
she's not likely to sit there and hear some shitty version of some song that she made because it started off as a shitty version. If it's now just a crappy version, it's an improvement.
Right.
That's terrible, but it's true.
But I mean, just you think about it. You get an acceptance to audition for this show. You're expecting to see the four judges and you walk in and there's an empty chair throughout your entire song. And you're just like, well, this was going to be kind of a highlight. I did get to see Britney Spears. I did get to perform in front of all these people and she's gone.
She's gone.
Bitch.
Before we move on to one of our next wrap-up stories, I did watch the first episode on NBC of American Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
Total letdown. They take it very serious. So
it's not the fun, energy-filled competition that the Japanese have let us fall in love with over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's two really boring announcers. You could tell that they thought they were getting some badass announcers because they're like these extreme sports Olympic guys, and you thought that maybe they're going to have some personality or something to them, but they're both so boring. And he just fell off there. You can just see he lost his concentration. There's no.
Oh no! Do they go to the crowd for reaction when the people fall?
Yeah, but there's just not much.
It doesn't seem like the people who are there in Japan competing at this. The people who are in attendance, I think they're fans, but I think they're more like supporters of the athletes themselves.
Yeah.
Probably family. There's usually at least one or two family members and friends. Oh, and they can always cut to them to show them cheering for this guy who's about to. I mean,
and they tried to do some of that. They had like this one dude who teaches a bunch of retards. Like they had some of his retards in the crowd with them that were watching it. And I mean, that was okay. They had one dude whose dad apparently had jerked off a lot and gone blind. And he was sort of watching from the crowd.
He was listening from the crowd.
That one was funny because this guy who's competing, he has his blind dad and his girlfriend in the crowd watching. So the blind dad is just so fucking annoying to the girlfriend. Like, where's David at now? What's David doing now? Where's David going? Is David on that one? Is David going over there? And you can just see it start grating on her. Like, it's going across her face like, shut the fuck up, you blind motherfucker.
I'm trying to watch this myself.
Can't you ask your kids who are sitting behind you? Like, I don't give a fuck. But you have to smile and be like, oh, yeah, he just reached the Solomon grips. Or, oh, yeah, he just hit the ramp.
Did anyone complete the first stage?
Yes. So the way this works is there's four cities. Each one of those four cities brought out 200 people.
Right.
The top 200 qualifiers through half of the course got to come back and do the full course. Then they had 100 people who ran the full course. Now, the people who place in the top 30 of that run get to come back for the televised portion of it, where they take the top 15 of those 30. So you really have to go through it three times to be able to make it out of the range. But you only have to watch it once. I mean, you don't have to watch it all. So
right. No, I understand that. But as one of the competitors, the expectation of having to go through so many rounds just to get to the televised version.
So they start off, they show you the beginning of the day, and the sun's coming up. Right as the sun rises, the first person starts to run and go. Mm-hmm. They hit midnight before they are done running everything, where these guys are just fucking freezing. I mean, these are the best dudes of the day. They had the best times. And now, like, this one dude, this is gross. This one dude does his first run in a tuxedo underpants.
Okay.
Like that's all he wears. By the time it rolls around, it's like 11:50 or something, and you're right off the beach in Venice. I mean, it's fucking cold down there. The guy now has to wear jeans because he doesn't have any other clothes with him. He didn't think he was going to be there this long.
Right. What do you mean I'm going to be going 18 hours straight to do this thing?
And he has no limberness in him. I mean, he's like tight from the cold air, mm-hmm. and his legs are all constricted because of the jeans, and he was the best rated dude in the overall. And he blew it because he couldn't make the leaps that he could if he had something looser on.
So this just sounds like bad production value, because it certainly seems like once the sun goes down or it gets to a certain temperature, it's time to say, okay, we're going to continue this tomorrow, and we're going to start again with where we left off.
Now, I bet if I could have understood the Chinese version that was originally around, or Japanese, whatever it was, they probably had the same problems then. But I can't understand the announcer, so you don't think about it as much.
Right.
But, I mean, they would go until it was cold, and and everything.
But at the same time, I think these guys who in the Japanese version probably came a little more prepared. It's not even in the summer. In the summer, Tokyo is not like one of the warmest cities. It never really gets hot, as I recall living there for the year that I did. I don't remember the summer being like, whoa, this is just ridiculously hot. It's not like living in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go there probably with something that's relatively warm to begin with, just in case it runs long or in case you're going to be off the course for a while before you get to go again. So you got to keep your body at least somewhat warm. Like you said, you don't tighten up and you're ready to go for your next round. So,
but you're heading down to Venice Beach. You think to yourself, it's probably going to be a pretty nice warm day. I mean, you can make it a little breeze.
Like you said, for the day, guy was great. Yeah. That's why he was the top qualifier, because he was able to do it in ideal conditions. And now you're making him do it again near midnight. It's been an 18-hour day for most of these people, so they're already tired. Of course they're not going to make it through. That in itself just seems like they're setting them up to fail.
So this is one of four regionals they're doing. The way they're doing it is they're doing it, I guess each one is happening live like that weekend. So it airs live this weekend on G4. And then they'd show the last runs of people on tape delay the next day on NBC.
Okay.
So this weekend it goes on in Atlanta, Georgia. Then they have another one that goes on in New York. Then they have another one somewhere in the middle of the country that's like designed for all the Midwest states to be able to send their people.
Right.
And then the winners of all of those, the top 15 from all four places, so there'll be 60 people who head out to the finals in Vegas.
Right.
And they have Mount Midoriyama set up out there, which just means metal mountain.
Right.
Midoriyama is metal.
I thought it was. I'm surprised that the Midori liqueur company doesn't want to promote this.
Yeah, you're right. They do use that green lighting to basket to make it look.
Mount Midori yummy.
That would make a lot of sense.
Mount Midori margarita.
So there you go. I'll probably watch more of it.
Oh, now that I know what, especially since you said that the live stuff is going to be going on G4, I can set that up to record and watch it a little delayed and see what I think of it. It's just a shame, like you said, if your commentators don't have the energy that the Japanese commentators are going to bring to it, it's not going to work here.
And the thing is, like, you kind of get confused on some of these Japanese shows, and you think to yourself, like, I was talking to my wife Cheryl about it yesterday, and she's like, well, you know, do they have the one where they catch the big balls out of the sky, or the one where they have this going on? I'm like, no, like the big balls, that's Wipeout. I mean, that's a different one,
right?
And Takeshi's Castle, which had a lot of those. Really fun.
Right, events. With like the suspension bridge that had no handles and they're shooting volleyballs at you.
Yeah, completely different. Like, yeah. They do not treat the Ninja Warriors the same way. Like, it's an actual, like, real competition.
I will say that is something I will be looking forward to this summer as Wipeout will make its return on ABC.
It's a fun summer. Show.
Yeah, it's a fun, dude, I love the big balls. It's so much fun to watch people hit those. I miss the motivator. Do you remember that?
That was the giant from behind them.
The giant pendulum that if you stood there too long, it was going to make sure you got out on the big balls. And my favorite one was this very large black woman who had made it through the mud to this point and got up there, ran up, and looked at the big balls and just stopped.
Oh, hell no.
And this thing, and she was like, oh, what am I going to do here? And, I mean, obviously you don't get to see what the course is like before you arrive, so she had no idea what was going to happen. But the look on her face when this thing swung down and popped her in the ass and sent her flying into the first ball. It's just like that look of, oh my God, what just happened? Why am I flying towards this? And then a big flop into the water. So,
what was the name of the thing they used to show on Spike TV that was like the repackaged Takeshi's Castle?
I don't remember what the name of that was. I know which one you're talking about, but I don't remember what they called it here in the States.
Because that show was awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other one I really liked was the one in Japan where if you have a talent like working on stilts or if you're really good at flying your remote control helicopter, they had set up different little runs for you to do on those.
The Spike TV show was called Most Extreme Elimination
Challenge. That's right. Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. And that thing's freaking hilarious because of the two commentators that they had.
Yeah. MXC was an incredible show. This is not MXC. It's not as funny in any way. But I'm still going to watch it.
Dude, you know what? I'm surprised that MXC, I guess Wipeout's close to it, but how can you not make a production that's just like that here?
Yeah.
I've always loved the Japanese game shows. They've always been funnier than our stuff here.
Best ones are when they have like, okay, we're going to put everybody in their underpants and then we're going to make everyone drink a gallon of beer and then we're going to set them on ice blocks and we're going to see who can go the longest without peeing.
Mm-hmm.
The pained look on people's faces as they're trying to keep everything inside their body.
You want Million Dara?
They're just clawing at their crotch.
Pinching it off as hard as they can and just in hopes that that nothing leaks out.
Dude, that stuff is so funny, man.
It is. It may seem gross, but since you don't... All that you end up seeing is a guy wetting his pants.
Yeah.
When he loses. Oh, well.
A little bit of yellow snow.
Ha-ha.
At most.
Yep, little water runoff.
Yeah, that stuff is hilarious. Man, we're down to our last 8 minutes of the week. So which one of these stories of the week are the really important ones? I guess you've got the guy who beat up the kid in the movie theater.
Yeah.
We've
all felt that way at some point.
Hey, man.
With somebody behind you.
Sometimes you just got to punch somebody. That's all there is.
Sometimes it winds up being a 10-year-old boy.
We have a new world's richest woman worth $28
billion. Billion dollars. It's a lot of money.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. The mining tycoon down in Australia.
His daughter.
Yeah, his daughter. Yes, daughter. So, boom.
Incredible story. The CNN executive.
I need to see her picture and see if she's single.
If she didn't have the money, she would be. She is not attractive. Mm. Have you ever seen Glee?
Yes.
Have you seen the football coach on that, the female Coach Beast?
Yes.
She looks a lot like Coach Beast.
Ouch.
Yeah. Unpleasant. You have the DC comic character who is gay.
We don't know who it is yet.
I guess we'll find out in about 3 weeks.
Yep.
When the...
Top ones that haven't been touched on in the new runs that they've been doing with the changing of their characters. So we have Green Lantern.
Wonder Woman.
Aquaman. Robin. And Superman. And I think you said there were a couple of others, but...
Martian Manhunter.
Right, Martian Manhunter.
Which is the perfect name for a superhero.
It really is.
It just makes so much sense.
I'm the Martian Manhunter, and I'm hunting men.
Yeah. We've got a story about a lesbian couple who is charged with a hate crime against themselves because they...
They staged it.
They staged it, and the cops have now gone through and put hate crime charges against them.
Because they did a hate crime to themselves.
Yeah.
Now, what was the point of them doing this? Was it to try and bust somebody else?
Sympathy.
They were just trying to garner some sympathy.
They wanted some extra time off of work. Like, I'm just so broken up by this. I can't come into work. Don't ever let anybody tell you that lesbians aren't lazy too. it happens. I mean, they went to they rented this house, which always makes it easier to do something. They went to the garage door and they wrote, spray painted, "Kill the gays" on it.
Wow.
And they claimed that they were the victims of it, but they have been arrested now after police determined that they're the ones who staged the incident.
What gave it away? The spray paint that was still on their fingernails and the cans that were left inside the...
Here's what gave it away. A neighbor's surveillance camera that was shooting out towards the street.
Well, that brings us to another one of our shows, one of our stories of the week.
The CNN
executive who was caught by his neighbor's security camera putting a bag full of dog shit in his neighbor's mailbox.
Incredible. I mean, that's supposed to be a dignified person. A president of a news corporation.
Mm-hmm. Of CNN.
Has now lowered himself to the... I guess he's not the Unabomber. He'd be like the Unipooper.
Yeah.
The Poopa Bomber.
And dude, I would hate to be the postal worker who has to deliver that day. Oh, I wonder what's in the bag. Maybe it's something nice for me. Maybe it's some cookies or something. What is this? Then you open it up and it's a bag of shit. Like, oh, why did I get this route?
Yeah, that is just disgusting. I'm sure that mailmen find things inside of mailboxes all the time.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's no way that this doesn't happen. I got to also, that kind of reminded me of another story I saw last night on TV. There's now a new thing happening at dog parks in different places in the country where people are given like a biodegradable bag to scoop their dog poop into.
Uh-huh.
And then there is a chamber that you screw back the top on. And you drop your dog poop in there and you screw it back on. And then you give it like 20 cranks with this big handle, kind of stirring everything up around. And it releases this methane gas. And the methane gas is then used to
power the lights
at night so that people can see off of the power of dog poop.
All right. We're recycling dog poop now. See, Jake, here, it'll be perfect. When you get your puppy, you can get one of those things and start lighting your house with it.
I hope my wife isn't listening. Just what I need. One more, like...
one more thing of poop you got to clean up.
One more reason to hear, like, yeah, that's great. Even Brant said we should do it. Take it back.
I take it back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do not need a dog right now. It's just too much for me. Well, I guess we are closely wrapping ourselves down, man.
Yep. It's been a long week. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a couple extra days off and getting to put some enjoyment back in the day, you know.
Well, send a thanks out to Sid Veda for coming in this week and letting us spend some time with him. And it was really exciting to hear that he's going to be in the upcoming Men in Black 3 that we're probably going to wind up seeing this weekend or next.
Yeah, and also some thanks out to the management here at Skid Row Studios. Mm-hmm. You guys have treated us so great. And the idea of trusting us enough to be able to come here and run our own things really means a lot to us.
It does, so. And we really appreciate it. We love our time. We've loved our time here, and we look forward to continuing it.
And we will still continue to.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just got a text from my wife. I get a puppy. She is listening. This is terrible. Brant can't take it back. I get a puppy. This is...
Wait, who says I can't take what I say back?
I know. Well, my wife says
Judge Cheryl, this week on Judge Cheryl.
Terrible. If I can make it back from the La Cunada Memorial Day Parade without one in the back of the car, I'm going to be feeling pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty good. I guess that's basically it for this week. We want you to go out and check out GrandTheftAudioRadio.com. You can go and find interviews with over 300 different people on there. You can go to facebook.com/Grand Theft Audio and post up story ideas, guests you'd like to see us go after.
Comments. Love your comments.
Some type of contest ideas. Anybody out there wants to try to figure out a way to win some free tickets to our next show, June 16th, out of the Westside Comedy Theater with J. Chris Newberg, Michael Gelbart, Karen Kilgariff.
The Walsh Brothers.
Walsh Brothers and Nick Rutherford and myself and our entertainment reporter, Carl Kozlowski. You will figure out some way to let you guys be able to win some tickets and come on out to it. It's going to be an awesome show, calling it the Congratulations Show.
For the month of June, of course.
I can dig that. And please subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you do that, give us a rating. Let us know what you think of us.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. So, you got anything else you got to say?
Nope. Tuesday we're back with who's going to be our. Okay, I know that we're trying not to do this, so in case they cancel.
I've confirmed with all of them.
Sweet.
And so there's no way that these people are going to bail on us. Tuesday we have El Pinche Peter.
That's right.
We heard some of his stuff today about sucking his own dick.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday we have Remington Steele and Everybody Loves Raymond. Miss Dora Roberts.
Cool.
Thursday we have on Jesus Christ Eating on a Chicken Wing, Mr.
Clownvis Presley.
Dude, what do you think of that new song?
I loved it. The Fresh Prince in the Ghetto.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Indeed.
And then on Friday, we can't believe it, his new movie comes out that day. We have from Anchorman and from so many other hilarious movies in the last couple of years, Mr. David Koechner.
Yeah.
He's coming in to talk about his movie opening on Friday, Piranha 3DD.
Double D.
Which,
find out how many titties he got to see.
I know, man.
It's going to be one of our first questions.
And apparently there's some more dicks getting bit off by fish in this one like there were in the first one.
Awesome.
So
bunch of gay fish.
Gay fish, bunch of...